The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. As liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome, welcome, everyone.
Lord knows they'll try to silence
us. Bachelor Intel Report. You're tuned in on this Thursday, the 11th day of June, 2020. A very interesting year, 2020, as we'll soon discover, I think. This is Larkin, Texas, y'all, standing in for John Stabmiller. And today, I thought it would be fun for y'all to eavesdrop on a conversation between myself and Nikki Rapana. And I have to tell you, I think I've spoken to Nikki maybe three or four times in close to 16 years. And the reason for that is largely because Nikki lives sort of out in the boonies, somewhere up in Alaska. And so Nikki's got a lot of things going on today, but I want y'all to know, for whatever it's worth, I discovered Nikki Rapana and her daughter Nordica Friedrich's work back in 2004, and that was the first year I ever got online. And a lot of things have happened in those 16 years. I think Nikki and her daughter were researching communitarianism, communitarian law, what was coming down the pike since at least about 1999, 2000. And so y'all are in for a treat today, because Nikki doesn't do a lot of interviews these days. She mostly is connected to a cadre of supporters on Facebook, and she has to connect via Facebook because where she lives, she needs to stay in touch with people in Alaska. But be that as it may, I think it would be useful for y'all to listen in today, eavesdrop on our conversation. We'll probably take some calls at some point, and I'll announce that. But let's see, first of all, if we've got Nikki on the line. Okay. How about it, Nikki? Do we got you?
I think so. I can hear you perfectly. Well, except for the plane flying over.
Son of a gun. So I trust the generator's working, the inverter's working, the battery's got the phone charged up.
No. We don't have none of that going on. I just charged it right off the generator and shut it off. So I think I have about 96% on my phone right now, and hopefully it'll last.
Yeah, I hope so too. Why don't we begin, Nikki, and just tell us what's on your plate, what's on your mind, and how do you feel this year, 2020?
Well, I got to say that over the last few years, I quit writing articles with about 2013, I pretty much felt like I had already said everything that I needed to say after 1,000 blog entries and 10,000 pages on my website. I was done. And I, as far as what I've done since then, what I was doing was preparing for 2020, how I understood it, okay? I was preparing for civil unrest, civil war, and the implementation of the new system. And when it didn't happen in the last few years, I was starting to get really kind of, you know, this hopefulness that I was wrong, you know, and maybe it wasn't going to go down that way. And I would, you know, because people for years told me that there's no way that's going to happen in America, Nikki, you know, so I wanted to believe them. And I think I kind of just let it play out to see, you know, if I the inaccuracies that, you know, could have been there, you know, I mean, I could have like missed something along the way. And then I thought maybe they just didn't have the means to do it. But in the last couple months, so much of what we wrote started happening so quickly. And, I kind of caught me off guard because I just was like, all right, we're in 2020 and none of this has happened yet, you know? How cool is that? So now I have to reassess my whole position as far as what, you know, for myself and my family, how we're going to deal with it, and then be willing to, there's so many people that are just now finding our work, and I hear the relief. They do appreciate knowing a little bit more about what's going on than what they can see on the surface. So that's kind of where I agreed. You know, I'm open more to talking to people. Of course, I'm not. I mean, I live off grid, and you know, I just barely usually have enough phone time to go do Facebook a little bit and talk to people that I'm dealing with. And you know, I'm a builder. I'm building yurts on our new property right now. And I mean, I just finished my outhouse last week, and that was like the most exciting thing I've done in a while. Okay, so I'm building teepees and yurts, and we're building Hugo Culture Garden. Doing a lot of gardening right now. Nordica is the seed queen. You know, she's just got sprouts everywhere. So we're getting ready for, whatever's coming, because it's starting to look like it's going to be like this whole stay at home thing, and you know the way that. The social distancing, the stay at home, you got to wear a mask if you leave. You know, there's just been so many things. I hardly ever leave the property. I'm always here working, and I don't really have a social life like that, okay? So I'm 60, almost 64 now. I don't need one, really, that way, you know? I don't know what I would be like if I was Nordica's age, if I was 35 facing this with four young children. I'm in a different headspace. Really. So
I can well imagine that. My niece is about Nordica's age, and she's got two children in tow and a master's degree that she may or may not ever do anything with. So, you know, yeah, the economy is the most glaring thing that we're seeing. And of course, what makes me sad at times is to see the American people getting whipsawed and played, you know, over and over and over again. It's that distresses me.
Yes, it does me too. It's really hard to watch, okay? I almost left Facebook because it was just killing me to see, you know, how easily people are manipulated. I don't like to see that either, because I feel like the more information that you have, the better choices you make. And by not giving them any information, and particularly about communitarianism, people still don't know the word. And then they look up on Wikipedia and say, well, that sounds nice to me.
Oh, I know.
And then all the socialists that I know, they think it's great because it's part of their ideology. And they think that I'm wrong about that it's not benign, that it's a very dangerous system that they're establishing. You know, when you have a government that tells you you can't leave your house and you haven't done anything wrong, a criminal, you know, you haven't been charged, you know, you're on house arrest for nothing, for some ideology, basically, is what's happening. So, you know, what do you do? Where do you go from there? You know, like, I'm not a take-to-the-streets person, and I don't support any of the street riots or the protesting. I think that that feeds into the dialectic, and that's what they want. And I've seen some other people doing, you know, lawsuits, okay, taking it to the Supreme Court of their individual states, you know, that kind of action. I do support when people want to do that, but, you know, really, there's not a lot that one individual can do, and that was the plan to begin with, was to separate us so that we can't talk, so we can't share what's going on with each other. And so now you have a host system in place where you're not even allowed to get 6 feet away from somebody, you know. Whoa.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And so they can, right, so they can monitor everything, every conversation that you have, because you have to go through social media to do it, and then they can censor and control. I mean, half the people I know on Facebook are being censored continuously, being banned for posting truth articles that comes right out of mainstream news that they're not allowed to talk about. So they're really controlling the dialogue in a way that it just didn't seem possible 10 years ago. I mean, in my wildest dreams, this is not what I saw. I don't know what I saw. I just saw this quiet legal system that suddenly we were all going to be under for, you know, some big catalyst would create the situation where we would accept the new law. And we've had it. We accepted the new law, and the people that protested against the new law were, you know, shamed for doing that.
So, that's right. Yeah, I know. I saw myself back in, I guess, by the end of 2005, that, you know, my bricks and mortars business wasn't going to, that model wasn't going to work anymore. I saw that new suppliers were coming in from Asia that were going to put under a lot of the main line old guard suppliers that have been around for 40, 50, 60 years in this country. And I see it today. You know, I saw the fake statistics about the unemployment rate, and you know, all the precariats out there are really seldom discussed. I've read stories, you know, in the past few years that there's 900 million working age Americans out of work, and they're chronically unemployed or underemployed, and people are in the middle class, of course, in this kind of a revolution, if you will, or transformation. It's the middle class that's targeted. And I mean, when I was growing up as a kid, I'd read all this Marxist literature. And without fail, they were always about attacking the bourgeoisie. And they wanted them impoverished. They wanted them to join the ranks of the propertyless and the wage slaves. Because, of course, what happens is there's a huge hijacking or transference of the wealth, you know, which accrues to, you know, to those one percenters, if you will. And anyway, I don't think I personally have done a very good job, because I voluntarily impoverished myself, you know, 14 years ago. It's like I just
well,
didn't
I
have
don't
to
know.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if that was a bad thing to do, though, I got to say, because one of the things that I knew was that I was in the, just barely on the bottom of the middle class, okay? So my goal for myself was to start letting go of the things that I absolutely didn't need and see if I could live this sustainable lifestyle, you know, that we were supposed to live, that I saw in the plans that we were told how we were going to do it. And I didn't want to stack and pack, so I went to yurts and other alternative type low-end, you know,
right.
Village type huts that I, you know, I want to be in a community of people that don't bother each other. And it's as simple as that. And that, I used to think America was that place where we just were minded our own business for the most part. You couldn't point your finger at people and say, oh, I don't like the way that guy's house looks or whatever. And people could put whatever sign they wanted in their yard. They could do whatever they wanted, you know. And that little bit of freedom, that everyday type of freedom, you know, as that, I did see that erode. I saw more finger pointing, more Mrs. Kravitz looking out the window. Now you got this whole contact track tracing thing, you know, where they're actually using that whole hotspot database that we found in 99 in Seattle. We were the pilot test for that. They're implementing it. And so the structure, all the way down to the bottom, I just didn't want to be reliant on their system as little as possible. And I haven't been able to, like, grow my own food. I'm not a hunter, so I don't have a freezer full of moose and, you know, good birds or fish or any of that. You know, I don't have all that. So I really am still dependent on the grocery stores. And, you know, it's really hard to become not dependent on them. But what I have done, it's mental. It's going to be like pool, okay? I don't know if you shoot stick or not, but...
Oh, I do.
In the game of pool.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and it's 99% mental and 1%, skill. You have to go into the game, you know, thinking that you're the winner. and that you're going to dump that ball. You got to see it, and it's got to be real to you. And so that's what I'm doing with everything that I'm doing is preparing myself mentally to not have what I used to always have. Okay. And it's hard, all right? It's super hard to not have electric. We just got a generator that actually runs. And they're expensive. Generators are horrendously expensive. And then, you know, you get the generator and you either have to run it and listen to that loud, obnoxious noise or get an inverter, which I'm having to learn all this from scratch, how to charge the batteries and then run everything off the battery, okay?
Yeah.
Sounds really simple, but when you're, you know, I mean, I have no mechanical background. I run a chainsaw. I've been running a chainsaw for about 15 years now, but this is the first generator I've ever owned. And the first one I had, I let it run out of oil and burnt up the engine. Luckily, we only paid $50 for that one, you know, so I learned a good lesson on a cheap one.
Yeah,
You know, and it's work, okay? Hauling water is a pain in the butt. Water storage, I don't have any rain barrels here yet, but you still got to have a filter system for the rain barrels. I mean, you go off grid and you need more than you did living in town and in a rental, you know? So there's no easy out, is what I'm saying. But what I want to do, and I know that you want to do this too, and this is why you gave up what you did, was if you're so attached to your affluent lifestyle, which many of my friends still have, you know, and suddenly you don't have all those things, it can be devastating.
So, yeah, I know that feeling. I know that feeling well because, let's see, I think I gave up my McMansion in 2008, and I moved into a suburban hovel hole, as I call it. But it's in a nice neighborhood, and, you know, we're probably the poor people of the neighborhood, but we pretend that we're not, and we try to keep up appearances, shall we say. You know, there's... Where I live, they have people driving golf carts and, you know, they still drive Lexuses and all that stuff. But it's getting thinner. Anyway, let's take a quick break, Mickey, and we'll be back after these messages.
No reason to get excited. Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown. So it started out for God knows
now.
Where. I guess I'll know when I get there.
Alrighty, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the National Intel Report with John Stabmiller. This is Larkin, Texas, filling in for John today. And we're joined by Nikki Rapana from Alaska. And I neglected to mention, for those of you in the listening audience that are not familiar with Nikki's or my own work, a couple of reference points. You can do a search on the internet simply Living Outside the Dialectic, and you'll find Nikki's old blog, quite a wonderful repository of research notes going back, I think, to about 2004 to about 2015. I don't know. I can't keep up. But that address is Nikki Rapana, N-I-K-I-R-A-A-P as in Paul, A-N as in Nancy, A. NikkiRapana.blogspot.com. And Nikki and her daughter, Nordica Frederick, are the co-authors of a book that was originally published in 2003 and then revised in 2012. And its title is 2020, Our Common Destiny. The other book is entitled The Definitive Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. And just by typing in her name or living outside the dialectic, that should get you situated where I think you should be. For my own work, you can just do this. Just type in your browser, tinyurl.com/LarkinTexas. That's tinyurl.com/LarkinTexas. No separation. And I guess we've been visiting with Nikki about what's is going on in her world these days. And I wanted to ask you, Nikki, I mean, describe for the listeners the years of research that you and Nordica did to ferret out this information and some of the travails, some of the hardships that you encountered along the way. Because I know that you and I had a similar trajectory in that sense, because as we both know, it's really difficult to get people to see this kind of stuff unless they're inclined to read and listen and ask questions and question everything. What would you have to say to new listeners to the sound of your voice and my voice today?
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but I heard you, but I'm straining. I don't know if it just got loud here or what. I didn't start out trying to tell anybody anything. I started out asking questions, and that was of my public officials that were implementing the pilot test that we were in Seattle. We just I don't know why we were in Seattle when this started happening, but we were. And they had just passed the Roosevelt Neighborhood Plan in my neighborhood. 27 neighborhood plans were passed in Seattle at the same time. They were all adopted unanimously by city council. And inside our plan was a couple of special programs about enforcement. And they expanded the power of the city to go inside private homes. And they had several different ways they were going to do it. They were relabeling properties, rental properties, as boarding houses, and they were trying to make it so that anyone who had a rental property had to get a business license and register it as a business. And then there were some very bizarre programs where they wanted all of the applicants for the tenants to have to be approved by the local community council before the landlord was allowed to rent to them. And then if the tenants were not good tenants defined by the community council, then the community council had the power to start abatement proceedings against the property owner and take the property because it was a public nuisance. And
hold the phone right there, Nikki, and we're going to take us a quick break. And we'll be back for the bottom of the hour, bottom of the hour in just about 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking ExtendoVite. Get the dependability of ExtendoVite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Of all the ruthless soldiers. Oh, I see the light.
All righty, welcome back. You're tuned into the National Intel Report, republicbroadcasting.org. This is Larkin, Texas, guesting today for John Stabmiller, and we're joined by Nikki Rapana in Alaska. Where were we, Nikki?
I don't remember. Somewhere along the line of when I started asking all my questions in Seattle.
There we go. Continue then.
I just started writing letters to the mayor, you know, and to the... I went to a lot of meetings. I was just trying to figure it out. I kept asking for definitions of all these terms that they were using to justify these, what I called, illegal actions against the residents in the neighborhood, and they couldn't define their terms. It drove me crazy. I'm like, you're writing law and using terminology that you have no definition for? How is that even possible in America? So I was like the biggest thorn in these people's side. They just didn't know what to do with me, and I figured it out that they just didn't expect anybody to go to the level that I did. But I did have a background in investigative journalism. It was my major in college. I'd never worked as a reporter or an investigator, but I certainly knew how to dig, okay?
Yeah.
And I didn't use the internet for like the first 6-7 months because it was still pretty new and I didn't know how, and I thought mostly only people went shopping on it, okay? So when I asked my daughter because I wanted to look at legislation, I had to keep going into other plans. You know, it's like the Roosevelt Neighborhood Plan was based on the Washington State Growth Management Plan of 1990. And then there was all this other stuff called Sustainable Seattle, and the director of the department who was taking the most action against us, the DCLU, was Department of Land Use and Construction, Construction and Land Use, they were presenters at this thing called the Earth Summit in 1992 at Rio de Janeiro, where Agenda 21 was adopted by all the member nations. I'm like, what in the heck is all this? You know, I was so full of acronyms and it was like a giant puzzle, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I was trying to keep it right at the local level. People were like, how high does this go, Nikki? I have no idea. But I'm not going there, okay? I'm sticking right here with our neighborhood, and I'm going to make my neighborhood sector manager and my Citizens Review Council and all these people own up to what they're doing. And so, and I'm Alaskan, and women up here, we're not like, city girls, okay? There was nothing wimpy about the way I did it. In fact, most people, when I wrote the letters or any of my articles in the beginning, they all thought I was a man because I was so aggressive. But I wasn't aggressive, like rude aggressive. I just demanded to know that I wanted answers. And I never did get the answers from them that I wanted. I started, once I figured out how the internet worked, I started looking for the terminology and seeing if it was being used anywhere else. And that's how I found the Communitarian Network and the writings of Dr. Amitai Etzioni.
Would you say, Nikki, that 90% of the people
direction.
That you... Would you say, Nikki, that 90% of the would you say that 90% of the people that you confronted with your questions probably themselves didn't know what was going on? They were just simply kind of following along, doing kind of what they were told.
I'd say 99%.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what was going on. They just were good paying jobs. That's what they told me. This one woman looked right at me after a Neighborhood Action Team Seattle meeting at the North Seattle Police Precinct. I mean, I found myself going to meetings at the police station trying to find out what was going on. And her response to me when I was like, you know, this is illegal what you guys are doing. And she looked at me and said, this is a really good job. I just bought a house. And I said, well, I'm happy for you. But I don't care, okay? That doesn't mean that, you know, you could. And we, oh my God, they called us trash. This is when I first saw how they were separating and trying to create the class consciousness that Marxist dialectical revolutionary ideology requires, okay? It does. You have got to have people hating other people for material wealth. What you know, like I'm supposed to be jealous or want more of what someone else has or hate the people that have it, and the separation of where, and it was really easy for them, I'm sorry to say, middle-class bourgeois America started looking at the poor very differently than they did when I was a kid and my dad was in the army and we were poor. We were proud poor. I was taught to keep my head held up because we didn't have much, but we made damn sure everybody else could keep what they had. You didn't feel ashamed because you didn't have all the fancy houses and things like that, okay? You could drive an old beater car, and people still respected you. Well, suddenly it was changing to where poor people, and they were citing the 1954 Berman case in some of the paperwork that they were given to us, and it was about poor people are like rats, and they carry disease, crime, and immorality, things like that, you know? And I'm like, all right, you don't get to do that. Okay, I was so angry at the insult, at the continual you know, assumption that all I cared about was me. I mean, they tried to tell me that they would never come to my house again if I stopped doing what I was doing. And I said, well, what about my neighbors? What about the rest of the country? Aren't we a pilot test for the Department of Justice? If it's successful here, aren't you going to duplicate this program in every other city in America? And they'd say, look at me like, why do you care? I had family members asking me why I cared. I couldn't believe how people were shocked that I cared. But I do. I still do. I think it's wrong. I think it's the destruction of anything that was ever good about America that I loved, this program was going to destroy. And so, yeah, you know, like Etzioni said, I came into his online forum with two guns blazing. And you bet I did. And I didn't care that that's how they saw me. I'm not going to compromise with these people. There is no compromise with these people, too, by the way.
No.
You give in to them, and they win.
No,
period.
No, these people are careerists. They're credentialists. They're success-driven. And they're going to follow along with the program because they're very concerned about their status, their ability to rise in status to get that next promotion. This is what concerns them. And they don't realize that they're being played. And they wouldn't probably care, most of them. You know,
their head could be on the chopping block next, either, too, you know, because you have to look at what the Marxists do to the opposition, at the people that help them rise. A lot of them get murdered after it works, after they, you know, after the coup happens.
I think they're going to be gutting the ranks of the attorneys and the doctors and the dentists before long. I think we'll see that in the next 10 years. We see the rise in this telehealth and telemedicine. And I saw it back in the 90s myself, up close and personal. I know that these people in academia, they feed this very often. They're rewarded. I remember the work of Herman Goldstein, University of Wisconsin, and the problem-oriented policing, or the POP program, you know, which developed from the broken window theory. And then I saw what happened with the creation of
HUD.
Yeah, and the Department of Homeland Security, where they brought all law enforcement into this country under the rubric of the communitarian law enforcement. And I don't know, you're probably not familiar, but a couple of years ago, where I live in Richardson, Richardson is a bedroom community of Dallas, 3 miles from a pretty good-sized tech corridor anchored by Texas Instruments. And so I'm surrounded by techies that are doing very well. My neighbor's son was 15 or 16 years old when we moved in. He got a degree in computer science, and right out of college, he was making $80,000 a year, and I was astonished. But what I've seen and what you have seen as we've watched this thing unfold, and to think that 99% of Americans, even the ones directly involved in it, are completely unaware. They've become the unwitting dupes and useful idiots that Lenin and Stalin and their ilk spoke about nearly a century ago.
Yeah, contemptuously, too. They didn't speak of them highly. They're being laughed at and used in a way that it's just rude. There's so much of this that it's just insulting. And the, you know, so some of the, you know, the people that are going to be successful in it are AI people. Etzioni's son is called the guru of AI. Did you know that? Oren Etzioni, University of Washington.
World's foremost authority on artificial intelligence.
Yep. And
a lad. Chip off the old block.
There's a lot more pieces to it that started. I mean, I didn't stop reading up on it. I didn't stop keeping up on them just because I wasn't publishing it anymore. And I was working on a series called The Green Virgin. I did one video, it's on my YouTube channel called The Green Virgin Part 1, but, you know, I don't really have good equipment, and I probably shouldn't even try to make it with what I had, but I needed to put it in a perspective for the people that learn better, because everybody learns differently. Some people can read and just grab it. Some people need to hear it, you know, audio. And then other people, you got to show them stuff. So after I learned everything, was when I realized that I needed to start putting it somewhere. And my daughter, she was in high school when we were doing all this. And so she was a techie and built me a website, and that was the old, it's at nord.tw.net, and that's Nordica's domain at the Web Union. She's had that since I think she was 9 years old. And she added the ACL research site onto her site, and I just worked on that for, like, I don't know, 3 years. And I didn't have any, I didn't have chat rooms, or I didn't talk to anybody, you know. Even on my blog, I started my blog because it was kind of separate from the research, but it was still research. And even then, I didn't have comments for a long time. I wasn't trying to discuss this with people. I was just sharing what I found, and you do what you want to do with it. And then people would contact me through email mostly, you know, and then I would get to know them, like you and quite a few others, actually. In fact, when I was publishing at News of Views and they were doing some of my articles over there, I was getting lots of emails. But it ended up being that people wanted me to help them, and I all I could tell them is, you need to go read your local plan, go to the local planning meetings. And it sounds boring, and it is boring because they make it boring, okay? But that's where you find out what their plan is for you and how far advanced the communitarian system is in your town. And then I was helping them with finding their plans, because my first edition of 2020, Our Common Destiny, was called What Plan? Because every time I talked to somebody and I said, well, you got to look at the plan, and they're like, what plan? Well, in the plan, when the plans were adopted, they said everybody in the community agreed that this is the vision for the future, you know? So I went door to door in my neighborhood, and I asked every neighbor that would answer the door about the plan, and every one of them 100% said, what plan? So nobody knew that they were writing these plans, or they were implementing a new legal structure under administrative law, agency law, because the Department of Land Use and Construction and the Department of Neighborhoods and the Strategic Planning Office and, you know, all these agencies that were created in Seattle were writing agency law that was quasi-judicial, they called it, okay, which means it doesn't have the power of enforcement behind it. But that's a lie, because, like, the noise ordinance that they wanted to pass in Seattle, and I think they did, was one of the ones that set me off, because it was an abatement scam against the owner of the property. And the way that they were doing it was, if any audible noise 50 feet or more, you could be fined $1,000 and or up to a year in jail. And then they would start the abatement proceedings against the owner of the property for not being a good property owner. And I went after that one hard. And they ended up using it against the WTO protesters, because this all tied into the WTO stuff, because we were also a training exercise for WTO police actions. So I didn't know what the WTO was, but I sure found out very quickly, actually, because that all came down in November of 99. And right now, what we're seeing in Seattle today is, to me, just a repeat of what we saw in Seattle 20 years ago, and now...
You know, Nikki, I don't think I ever told you this, but, you know, my late mother, who passed in 1996, she was from a small town in Ohio, about 40 miles from Columbus. The town had 2,000 people in 1900, and it has 2,000 people today. And she left home soon after high school. She joined the WAFs, that's the Women's Air Force, as it was known in those days. But she was born on April 22nd, 1934. On April 22nd, 1970, was the 100-year anniversary of Vladimir Lenin's birthday. And also the very first Earth Day. And now we just celebrated the 150th anniversary of Vladimir Lenin's birthday. And we celebrated it by having a big worldwide technology conference in San Francisco, World Economic Forum. We'll be right back after this break, ladies and gentlemen.
Your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Kick down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down. You busted, shake down, break down. Just about the time you think it's all right.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a short segment here before the top of the hour, and then a longer segment soon after that break, Nikki. I was just reminded of John Perkins. Remember him? He's a hero of the left. Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
I never read that book, though.
Yeah, I didn't either. But still, it was very interesting. You started writing about Pachamama several years ago. And I discovered that John Perkins, I don't think ever really gave up his ways of being an economic hitman, because he is part of the Pachamama Alliance.
Oh.
Yep.
Pachamamaalliance.org,
John Perkins. He is one of the founders of that. And it's quite the organization.
And a lot of people got a lot from that book. It's really hard to find authors that you admire and respect, and then you dig a little deeper and see what their connections are. I mean, I have my friend Vicky, who has been doing amazing research for me for years. In fact, a lot of stuff that I've learned comes from her, because she had asked me if there was ever anything I needed to just ask her. And I started saying, well, you know anything about, you know, this or that? No, boy, she just goes and finds it. And she also told me that she had scoured my work hoping not to find some weird thing, like, you know, that I was a Christian Zionist or, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And I was writing all this stuff. But then underneath, I had some other agenda going on, and she said she was very relieved to see that I don't. And I was, you know, when I first started doing this, I didn't know anything about the alternative media. I'd never been a reader of alternative media. I didn't know anything about the New World Order conspiracy. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know about the alien conspiracy. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know who David Icke was, you know, so I was really not, I'm a nonfiction writer and I'm a nonfiction reader, you know, so I just didn't spend a lot of time on that kind of information, which is relevant in some ways, okay, because now, you know, what I also didn't do was write about the religion and getting into that part of it and finding the whole Pachamama ideology, the communitarian goddess. That was kind of mind-blowing, okay?
But, well, you know, I remember reading that in your blog years ago, that you didn't want to go down that road to looking at the religions because you didn't want to stir up a lot of dust. And so I thought that I would be helpful.
Anybody. I have a lot of religious friends from many different faiths. And no, I didn't want to insult anybody. I was so insulted by what was happening to me, the last thing I was going to do was go and insult anybody else.
All right, we're on break.
You know,
hold on there, Nikki, and we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, for hour number two.
Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.